Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 23rd of July, and I'm recording at, well, it's almost 10 p.m. British summertime. Now, what's happened here today? Well, people seem to have forgotten about the Russian situation for a moment, despite the shooting down of two Ukraine planes, apparently. But here we go. Japan, well, a small decline, 10% or less, depending on which index you're looking at, and it had a good day yesterday. The Hang Seng Index, this is interesting. We're up here at 23,971.87. So that's less than 30 points away from that psychological 24,000 level where we had seen two previous significant medium-term highs, but the lows have been rising subsequently, as you know. Well, will it go through? Well, my view is yes, it definitely will, but the catch is that I don't know if it'll do it this week or whether it'll pull back and consolidate a little bit before it next goes higher, but this looks like a good bet to me. And low valuations, as I pointed out yesterday. The Shanghai Composite Index up 3 points, that's only 0.14%, and it gave up most of the gains that it had seen earlier in the day, so it's a little bit sluggish against the background of what we're seeing on the Hang Seng. China Enterprise Index did better, up 2%, and the Taiwan Index, which has really been in form, that's up another 0.6 of a percentage point. Australia, interesting. Up to on the ASX 200, that's at closed today at 5,576 and change. Now that was up 0.6 of a percent, but it represented an important breakout from that trading range and reaffirming the overall upward trend. And India, well, my goodness, right back up into new all-time highs, up nearly 0.5% today, putting the Sensex at 26,147. Slightly overbought in the short term. I hesitated to say that because it's a breakout from a trading range, but it had to come from that really came after a failed downward break. You know the rule of thumb from TCS, when I taught it all those years ago and when Owen has taught it in recent years, when you get a clear, recognizable, particularly rectangular trading range, those are the most consistent and easiest to monitor, that if you get a failed breakout from that trading range, and particularly if the failure is confirmed by a dynamic in the opposite direction, then you go back and at least test the opposite side of the range. Well, I've mentioned that earlier on Sensex, earlier this week, and I think also last week, but that's what we've done. So it's gone through to a new high up here. Now it gets interesting. If it runs, that would be truly impressive. Runs to the upside, it would be, say, truly impressive. But any way you slice it, this is a terrific bull market, and it's up 23.5% so far this year. Actually, it's up more than that in U.S. dollar terms. Okay, up. Let me get that right, 27.45% in U.S. dollar terms, the Sensex Index. So, not many that beat that, but one that is Indonesia. You've got that good election victory. And it's a very, again, very favorable market overall. Now, Thailand, this is interesting, up 1.36 in here today. That's a good move. Now, yesterday, Thailand had a A moderate-sized downside key day reversal, which I said was probably just a little warning shot across the bows that it was getting a little overextended. Well, it nearly offset that key with today's move to the upside, so no additional follow-through. Again, we like these markets on certainly on a medium to longer term basis. Inevitably, they'll see some volatility, some pullbacks and consolidations are also inevitable and desirable. But they're impressive. No other way to describe it. And the valuations are often more interesting. Okay, Europe. Well, Europe was had good gains yesterday. It started off well today, and then the news of that those two military planes from Ukraine being shot down near where MH17 had been shot down, that caused them to give up most of the gains. So mostly very modest gains in Europe today. And a couple just couldn't manage to hold that, but only small losses for Italy and Sweden. Now, North America. Well, my goodness, this is interesting here on Wall Street. The Dow, which had been leading recently, Dow gave up a tiny bit here today, only 20. Just almost 27 points on the Dow, which is nothing for an index that has crossed that psychological 17,000 level at 17,086. But the S&P 500, new all-time high. That's at 1987. So it's closing in on that quite a significant, no doubt about it, a very significant psychological number, and that's the 2000 level. Now, when I say this and talking about these things, the point that I'm trying to make here is that this is point that I'm trying to make is sorry, I got interrupted by a Skype phone call there for a moment. Coming through again. The point I'm trying to make, and I'm momentarily, no, here we go. The S&P on that psychological resistance level up at 2000. Now, the thing is, why does that work? Well, it's a target. So all during the 1800s, 1900s, people are looking at that and saying, where do you think it's going to go? And people cite the round number, the big round number, that 2000 level, which we're 13 points away from as of today's close. So when it finally gets there, or a little bit below as it is now, or just a little bit above, people often pause and say, well, what next? And that's why we, and if you pause and do that, then you stop doing what you were doing, which was perhaps bidding it up to reach that level. Other people see the market. If they see the market stop moving higher at that level, then they may take a few profits and so on. So that's why you'll see on big round numbers, you'll see a lot of indices find them to be psychological resistance levels until they're clearly broken, and then they can be psychological support levels on downward reactions within overall upward trends. Okay, enough of all that. The Nasdaq 100, again, powering ahead here, says the transport index. Both are overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, so we shouldn't be surprised if we get some sort of pullback here relatively soon. Now, if we don't, let's say that they go into some form of upward acceleration and go powering higher and became very overextended, that would be dangerous, and I think it would set it up for at least a medium-term peak. Meanwhile, the laggard, the Russell 2000, I looked at that and note that it has picked up. It's in the middle of its trading range, which goes back to the end of last year, latter part of last year, and but it did get a small rise after encountering support from its 200-day moving average in here today. Brazil, down for a change, but it's due for a pause in consolidation. It was down almost 1%. Those U.S. long-dated government bonds, 2.46 and change percent. I'm writing about them in here today, and the total return index on those 10-year bonds, while it hasn't gone anywhere other than sideways here for, well, since late last year, people aren't losing money in it yet. I'm concerned about it because I think it's very easy for investors to sleepwalk into trouble here in that market. First, I would point out what they've done very successfully is people who've been long, at least for if they've been long over the last 30, 33 years, they've participated in one of the great bull markets of a lifetime. But you'd have to believe that the world is going to go into a massive deflationary slump to think that bonds can hold these levels. And that QE policy, really, it's on course to end around the end of this October. So that's got to be watched very carefully. And when it really does end, I think it's apt to be a fairly sharp move. Okay. What happened in precious metals? Just a little bit of profit taking in here today, and they seesawed a wee bit on the Russian news. But silver just below the $21 level, and gold bullion just below the 1305 level. Those are the main changes in here today. Grains and beans a little bit firmer, particularly the soybeans. This is against a background of a overextended, over short-term oversold condition. And crude oil, well, firmer in here, 103.17 for the WTI. And if I just look at W24, sorry. Yep, let me try it again. So just want to get you the Brent chart, and that is also firmer, 108.20. That's not causing trouble, but it has steadied at the bottom of its range. Remember, it got down to almost 104 last week, having been up close to 116 back in the second half of June. And it's edging higher in here today, as you can see. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.